Would you introduce yourselves, please?
We are Flora Cash, and this is...
Oh, were we doing that? Yeah. This is? Cole. Are we doing a this is? Oh, I'm Cole.
Sorry. I heard a rumor, which I know is a true rumor. You met on SoundCloud.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, that's true.
So now tell the story.
Okay, so Shpressa, normally she starts the story. So she was on SoundCloud, and there was a person that was a user on SoundCloud that she really admired, their musical taste.
I mean, he followed me, so I was like, he must have good taste if he follows me on SoundCloud, you know? So.
And on SoundCloud, there's no pictures, so it's not like following somebody on Tinder.
No, it's like a small little picture, like you put your art picture there as
right.
an artist.
Mostly right. artwork or whatever.
Right.
So then she was looking for new music, and it turns out actually that her brother's name is Cole with a K, which is my name. So she found this guy, which was me, that this other dude was following, and she was like, oh, Cole, I know that name, so I may as well check it out.
Yeah.
And then she checked out the music.
Yeah, and when I did... I just turned the first song on and was like, whoa, wow, this is freaking fantastic. I was just blown away right away. I loved it.
But I do have to say that, like, the feeling was actually mutual. She always acts like she was the one who, like, fell in love with my stuff first. But when I checked out her music, I was totally blown away. And I was living with my cousin at the time, going to college in Minneapolis. And I played some of Shpressa's music for him. And he was like, she basically sounds like your musical soulmate. That's pretty much what he said. And I was like, yeah, I know, right? This is crazy. So my idea was that we should collaborate musically because I'd been looking to collaborate musically with people.
And then you said like, oh, can you add me on Facebook. And then I did. And then I wrote you first. I was like, thank you for accepting my friend request, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So then it became like we exchanged a lot of like very polite and nice messages about like, oh, yeah, how is it in Sweden? And this is what it's like in Minnesota. And we should totally send
it's
each other.
It's dark in Sweden and it's cold in Minnesota.
Exactly.
That's it. We're done now.
Pretty much.
We're compatible.
Well, the thing about Stockholm and in Minneapolis is they actually both have a pretty vibrant and interesting music scene, but it's very different, you know? Sweden is very much about, like, pop
music.
Yeah,
the Replacements and the Concretes are very different.
Yeah, well, yeah. But basically, it was probably, like, a week and a half before, like, probably even less, if I'm being really honest, before the messages started. Because you have you have not as much filter when you're writing text
Don't
things.
Say less. Nervous when you say
I know
that.
It sounds so cheesy, but like things very quickly developed this kind of romantic undertone. I would say
we just saw each other. Also, like first we probably fell in love with each other's music and voices and stuff, and then I saw him and I was like, oh, he's cute, and he saw me and he thought, oh my gosh, she's gorgeous. So then
yes.
I like this, but I like once again the dynamic. Do you notice how she described the looks?
No. That's true.
You took over both you and him.
Shallow,
I like
though.
That.
I mean, I don't want to seem shallow.
You did a really great job of telling him what he thought of you.
Thank you.
But it's true, actually. It is true, though. But yeah, it took on this kind of romantic undertone, and then we get the letters gradually got way longer, more personal, more detailed, and we started to learn all this stuff about each other.
At least the story here is that it was based on mutual musical attraction before it was physical attraction.
Totally.
Exactly.
But that's essential. I wanted to get that out because, you know, the first thing that's going to be, oh, they met on SoundCloud, and it's like, you don't want that in your bio, you know, per se, because, I mean, you do, but you want it in a way that people understand what that means.
Oh, for sure.
I personally think, actually, I'm kind of proud of that story because it does, like, it is a good story because it just is a weird one.
You know? It's weird.
Especially because we weren't looking for love. We were looking for music or inspiration for music, you know?
Yeah.
Or my own musical.
I mean, I'm sure we were in a way looking for love, obviously, but not in a way that we were, you know, we didn't meet through a forum that was actively, you know, seeking it or anything like that.
Yeah.
But still, like, what better way to connect than through your mutual passion? So,
absolutely.
Yeah,
it's the best thing ever happened to me.
But the question is, just kind of continuing the narrative here. So now, combining music, combining styles, you respected each other's music, but based on the music that I've already heard, It's coming from multiple places, which is what makes it so joyous and makes it dynamic and makes it original. And that's not an easy dynamic either to go, okay, now we've got to figure out what we're going to be. Tell me a tale or two of what happened there.
I can start on that one. So she came to Minnesota initially, and we didn't know for sure if I was going to go back to Sweden with her because we were, I mean, we had been Skyping for 5 months, like day in and day out. So we had face-to-face, you know, in quotes, contact. So it wasn't that surprising in certain ways, but still, you don't know for sure if there's going to be physical chemistry, really. I mean, like, there is, like, a biological aspect to all of this stuff, which sounds really... It's not, that does not sound romantic at all, but yeah. So basically what it was we stayed in Minneapolis for 2 months. I didn't have a ticket yet to Sweden, so we didn't know what was going to happen. But this whole time, even though it all started musically, we ended up not collaborating on the music until we met each other in person. Because when we tried, it really wasn't that feasible. Yeah. We didn't really have a good studio situation. We were used to doing things alone.
Yes.
Oh, and we tried to do it on, like, Skype, but then, you know, there's a lag and it just didn't work. Like, with music, it's like the timing is everything, right? So it just didn't happen. And then when we finally got there and we were sitting there, we were like, all right, let's write a song.
Yeah.
And that was really, really difficult.
Super hard.
And I think the reason is, like, what we tell people is since our attraction to each other was initially musical, there was this element of, like, that we want to impress each other. So you want to show the other person a finished product.
Yeah.
And when you're writing, you have to be, when you're writing alone or with anybody, you have to be willing to suck. Like, you have to stretch your limits.
You weren't willing to really co-write yet.
Yeah, no, because we weren't willing to expose ourselves, like, you know, we weren't willing to expose the, you know, how the sausage is made, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But then, before we left for Sweden, we wrote our first song together. Or we finished our first song because we had started some other songs, but...
had some ideas.
Yeah.
And that was called Somerset,
yeah.
Which was like... And that was at the very end of the summer, and she had spent a lot of time with my family. And I was going back to Sweden, but I was also... It was bittersweet because, you know, I actually initially grew up in a small town, and I am a little bit of like a... I was like a grandma's boy, mama's boy, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I felt a little scared to be going all the way to Stockholm with this person I had just known for 2 months in person.
And when we got to Stockholm, called the first night, poor thing, from first time ever being away from Minneapolis, I was just woke up like, what is that noise? And he was like crying, really like... I was like, oh my gosh, what's wrong? Like, I just feel homesick. But after that night, you just...
Cole, good move.
Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, he loves it there. I want to move back to America. He's like, no, I love Sweden.
Yeah, she wants to... I mean, she would love to live in the U.S. pretty much anywhere warm,
yeah.
I think. But I fell in love with Stockholm. And you are so close to your family and your sister.
She's
your best friend. I don't think you'd know what you'd be getting into.
Yeah, it's a little more than bi-coastal, what you're talking here.
Yeah.
But you can have the summer home in...
Exactly.
In Sweden, in the... You know, because Minneapolis gets pretty hot and humid and stuff. So you can kind of...
Yeah,
you absolutely. Know, and plus you'll be touring anyway.
Yeah.
You're gonna be living this musician's life.
Exactly.
I usually wait till later to ask this, but I'm going to ask it early because it fits into the story. What's the filter for a Flora Cash song? How do you know? Because you came from these two different dynamics.
Yeah, that's a good question. We do write a lot of... I have to start. We do write a lot of songs. We also write pop, like bubblegum pop with other artists and stuff. But we have a very, very high filter for what is a Flora Cash,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah,
right?
The lines are pretty blurry. But the thing is, we have a lot of arguments about that ourselves, to be honest with you. Like when we're writing, because as you said, we come from two different places a little bit. We have overlap, and that's where what ends up being Flora Cash is the overlap. And that overlap is constantly shifting.
And it's usually something we both... Like, it has to be something we both love.
Yeah,
but
we do have a lot of arguments where, like, the argument is, like, that Spress is like, that's not Flora Cash. And I'm like, okay, what is Flora Cash then? Because I like it, and to me, like, it sounds like a Flora Cash song.
But
you know, like, we are still, like, it's an ongoing... what is the word? It's an ongoing dialogue, I guess, about that.
Yeah.
Know? And negotiation, that's what I'd say. It's an ongoing negotiation.
You get together, you start writing songs, and then you say, okay, are we going to make a business out of this? What did you do next? Were either of you signed to anybody yet?
Not when we first met. No, we basically, I think when we finally got together and we knew that like the relationship thing was something that we were gonna be like committed to that. Like we were gonna be very communicative and not just give up when things were hard. Mm. Once we decided that, then I think we were like, okay, we both love doing the music thing, so let's just go all in on it and no plan B. Let's find out exactly what we need to do. And if we don't have supporters, we had people around us that believed in us, but if we don't have the manager, if we don't have the label, if we don't have the contacts, then we're going to do everything we can to do everything ourselves.
Which we did.
Yeah, and so every single thing has been like a learning process for us. And it has tended to be, or it was in the beginning, you know, me being from Minnesota, her being from Stockholm, we didn't have like a real home territory or like a home base. We hadn't done a lot of like networking to like try to get into the old boys club or whatever. So we started out very much like as outsiders. Everybody else has sort of come along when it's, I'll be honest, when it's convenient, really. Like we've built everything ourselves. And we just decided there's no plan B. So we either sink or swim, really. That's... Yeah.
So when you recorded this first music, did you just book a studio? Was there a producer yet? Take me a little bit through the trajectory from then to now. So do you start at home with tracks and do stuff at home, or do you go into a studio? Let us in a little bit.
Well, we don't usually record. Basically, our apartment has gradually become more and more like a studio. In the beginning, the first things that we recorded, I mean, it's been a learning process, yeah. Like everything else, how to do it yourself. So when we first were recording, it was like a USB microphone and a MacBook. We've gradually gotten more gear and a little bit more savvy on how to produce. But you can hear our development, like
yeah.
we didn't
to the first things, it's just so different,
yeah,
to what
and
it's fun,
and we like the art, like we like the songs to be a bit of a time capsule for us also, like where we were at the time, and right. For us to hear our own
and,
growth
and you actually even like when we have access to like a real studio except for our home studio, we kind of prefer sitting there and recording it there and doing it there, right?
Yeah.
And also because like we are married and in a relationship, we can do this 24/7. We don't need to go to, you know, like book a thing and or, you know, yeah.
Coordinate schedules,
yeah.
And all that
so
stuff.
So we just can record anytime.
Yeah.
And write
also,
anytime. Yeah.
I think we've always liked the aspect of Floracash that is like, you know, when we're recording in our apartment, if somebody slams a door out in the hallway and it ends up in the final recording, I mean, we like that kind of thing. Like it's, I mean, we don't like embellish it to the point where it's obnoxious, where it's like, yeah, look at how indie we are.
No.
But I think that's part of the...
If it happens, it happens.
If it happens, it happens. That's part of the character, I think, of the...
Yeah.
So self-produced, I get really geeky and my audience knows it. Self-produced to the point of then do you bring it into a mixer and somebody who's really adept at doing this? Have you done that? Or how far do you take it and then how does it get finished?
I think if you're asking that question, then that means that we've done a pretty good job because we don't bring it into a mixer. We mix it all ourselves. And I don't know, like, I think if you have a relatively good idea of, like, what a good mix is, I think another set of ears can be really, really good, and I would never disparage anybody for doing that because I think, like, there's going to be something about music that people have mixed by somebody else that there's going to be aspects of that that are definitely probably going to have an edge on our finished productions, but I just think we've tried to avoid bringing in other people into that process for as long as possible. We're open to it,
yeah,
you know.
Totally.
We're not like pretentious about it, but
no. It's just more like that we. I don't know if it is just this a little bit of a control thing with this Floracash, like it's our
a little bit.
Baby thing, kind of. We've called it our baby sometimes, which sounds
sure.
Strange, but
no,
you know, like we want to keep it. Like,
try to keep it as I don't want to say pure, but yeah, it's
as us as much as possible.
And also, the more egos you bring into this mix, it's like...
But nowadays, we've been like, we might do that.
Yeah,
if we
exactly.
Like it.
Of
we'll
course.
See. We'll
attractive
see.
Couple. Being taken seriously, and when you get the questions, which you're going to get a ton of, and I know you've already have in the past couple of weeks, of, so, how do you describe your music? What is it? But when you're faced with a world where attractive couple, right, and the world's filled with the kills, and, you know, you can go on and on and on, with man and woman, right? Either relationship or not relationship. But this one started differently, and the dynamic of the music is different. And the music doesn't necessarily sound like anything that's out there, but yet it does. It will fit really snugly, as we already know. It's starting to fit really snugly on radio. It's starting to get embraced, you know, pretty early on, which is kind of exciting. I like to blow up genres. How do we get around that?
We usually look a little confused and doughy-eyed when people ask that and try to give an answer that is acceptable to the person. But
so what do you do? What's like your stock answer that people are actually buying?
That's a good one. We don't normally name influences, like, and that's why I'm glad you're not asking.
Yeah. I don't.
Usually just nowadays, I mean, I say indie pop. That's what I, how I describe it.
Yeah, that's a pretty acceptable answer.
And then you come in and you usually say, with a folk influence.
That's yeah, well, I think it's good for people to know, like, the trajectory that we took. Like, when we got together, we were a little more, like, singer-songwriter-y, acoustic, guitar-oriented. And then we sort of, and I think that was actually being a little bit inauthentic to ourselves, because we really like... We like a broad range of music, and yes. I think we thought that's what we should do, like a duo with like a guitar for some reason.
Because that's the first natural thing to do.
Probably. Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And also I play guitar and we sing together, so it kind of felt like a folky thing. Mm-hmm. But then I think when we started to let our other influences bleed in, we kept the acoustic guitar and started, you know, bringing in other influences.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside. You're going to each pick a bunch of songs that yours are going to surround. And then I play it with no interruption for the 40-minute last part of the show.